Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, for another program on the apparitions of Our Lady of Lourdes. And this will be the last talk about these apparitions. We have left at the 14th apparition that happened at 7 o'clock in the morning. And again, Bernadette had only one question right from the beginning. She had only one question, which was the name of the lady. It took a long time to answer, and that is also a difference with Fatima. In Fatima, she answered very soon when they asked the lady, the three little shepherds. But here, many times, Bernadette asks, and all she gets is a smile, a beautiful smile, I can imagine. But God answers in his own time, not in our times. So even in the 14th apparition, the answer was a smile. And of course, the parish priest, does not accept these apparitions as long, and of course he will not build any chapel where a chapel was told to be built by the lady, and unless the lady tells what is her name. And also, so if the lady wishes that a chapel be built, then she must tell us her name and make the rose bush bloom at the grotto. There was a rose bush there, and it should bloom out of season. And so this is very similar to Guadalupe. But the rose bush is not going to bloom. This generation asks for signs, but only the signs that God wants to give will be given, not all the signs that, and that's, it's kind of, a miracle for nothing, just for the fun of seeing something extraordinary. God doesn't play into that. But the important thing here is the name of the lady, and that it will come. It will come. So we are at the 15th appearance on the 4th of March, and in that appearance again there was a crowd waiting for a miracle at the end of the fortnight. You know, like in Fatima, a miracle was being waited for the people to believe, and the vision was silent again, and so we really, I guess that we could see some anger in the parish priest, Father Peyramal, but maybe even in Bernadette. As a matter of fact, for 20 days, Bernadette did not go to the grotto. She no longer felt the irresistible invitation. You know that Bernadette goes to the grotto not in established days, but when she feels the call. And so for 20 days she did not feel the call. And then on the 16th on the 16th apparition, that is the 25th of March, we go from the 4th of March to the 25th, finally the name is revealed. The vision finally revealed her name, but the wild rose bush on which she stood during the apparitions did not bloom. Bernadette recounted she extended their arms toward the ground, then joined them as though in a prayer, and said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And she said this in Bernadette's dialect, which was not the French of today. The young visionary left, and running all the way, repeat continuously the words that she did not understand. She did not grasp what she heard. It's like we don't understand things and we repeat them as a parrot to avoid forgetting them. Remember when we were kids and our mother would tell us to go to the shop and to buy this and that, and we would repeat it to ourselves during the way so that when we reach there we know what to buy. At that time, probably we don't know how to write, so we keep repeating those things in our memory. And that's what the same happened to Bernadette. And when she reached the parish priest, she revealed the name of the lady. The parish priest was troubled when he heard that name, because he was very sure that Bernadette did not know that 4 years earlier, in 1854, Pope Pius IX had declared this truth of the Catholic faith, this dogma, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, had been declared 4 years earlier, in 1854. But there was no way Bernadette would know this. This was still very much in the mind of theologians, and probably the proof that she wouldn't know is probably that the very same parish priest had never preached about the Immaculate Conception. This was still very new, and I believe some people would not accept it at that time. And certainly our Protestant brothers would not accept it at that time, and probably not even now. And so, just because of that, the parish priest most probably had not preached about it. And if he had not preached about it, then there was no way that Bernadette would have known the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. She didn't understand the words, she just repeated them as a parrot, so not to forget them. And then we go to the 17th appearance. The town physician, Dr. Pierre Romain d'Uzuz, watched the apparition from a skeptical point of view. He believed, though, that Bernadette, he knew her to be genuine and not a person to make up wild stories. He places all the evidence together and decided to write a medical article explaining that one can have illusions or hallucinations without being insane, and that Bernadette was not insane, so he declared. The apparition took place between Bernadette and the Virgin Mary about 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, well, that's when she felt the call. With the conversion at all, and he all reported, Bernadette seemed to be even deeper than usual in her trance, the usual trance. This was witnessed by hundreds of people. And that's then when the miracle of the candle happened. Bernadette was kneeling and saying her usual prayers with a rosary, holding in her left hand. In her right hand was a large lit candle. While Bernadette was saying her prayers, she suddenly stopped and join her right hand with her left hand, and the flame starts to flow over her hand, and for 15 minutes she left the hand, the right hand, over the flame of the candle she had in her left. For 15 minutes, everybody was amazed. They did not see the hand being burned. And in the end of the apparition, the doctor asked Bernadette, "Stretch out your hand, I want to see it." And indeed, he realized that the hand was not burned at all, not a single sign of being burned. Then he wanted to know if Bernadette had a normal hand. And so he put it on fire. He put the candle below Bernadette's hand. And Bernadette said, "Are you burning me?" And of course, she was feeling the heat, and it would be burned. Also because that was outside the apparition, but during the apparition for 15 minutes the hand did not burn. So let us say this is the third miracle of Lourdes. The first would be just to warm things up. You heard me, it was connected with the water of Lourdes. A baby was cured. And the second being the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There was no way Bernadette could have known that name, that title of our Blessed Mother. And so, and the third being the candle that was supposed to burn Bernadette's hand, but didn't. Now we have, of course, we have to the very same water of Lourdes, that the spring was not there before Bernadette. We have another apparition, but this apparition is somehow secretive or somehow illegal, because the grotto was closed. The police did not allow anybody to go there, but somehow she managed to go there by another way. The apparition was silent, as many apparitions. Our Blessed Mother smiled at Bernadette, and that was the last time she saw our Blessed Mother. So we have the description. I tell you about how Bernadette describes this version of our Blessed Mother, and how it is somehow different from the statue that we have actually. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. So the way she describes, Bernadette describes Mary, it, well, amazing, is a teeny maiden. That is just 1 meter and 1 meter and 40 centimeters high, tall. And her age, she says, even younger than Bernadette, it's like 12 years old. But of course, the statue that currently stands in the niche within the Grotto of Massabielle was created by Lyonnais sculptor Joseph Hugues, and it was created in 1864, although it has become an iconographic symbol of Our Lady of Lourdes. It depicts the figure, which is not only older and taller than Soubirous' description, but also more in keeping with the Orthodox and traditional representations of Our Blessed Mother. On seeing the statue, Soubirous was profoundly disappointed with this representation of her vision. Well, it's not the same as it happened in Fatima. In Fatima, Lucia has plenty of time to describe how the lady is, and there were images done by the same. There are more than one image we have of Fatima. The first one is the one that we have in the little chapel, but there are also pilgrim images of the Virgin Fatima that were done by the same sculptor, and these go around, they are slightly different. As amazing as I will tell you, Lucia, it seems like she liked more one that was in her convent, and it is still there in her convent. That's the one she likes most, not the one that is in the chapel, but the one that is in the chapel. So even in here, one thing is what you like, the visionary, but the other is what then becomes to be the traditional one. Okay, so the Pope Pius XI, so very soon, in 1925, she was beatified, and in 1933, she was canonized in the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And it has been endorsed, this Lourdes, like Fatima and Guadalupe. Those are the three that have been very much endorsed by the Church. The Archbishop of Milan, Giovanni Battista Montini, the future Pope Paul VI, visit Lourdes. John Paul II made three religious pilgrimages to Lourdes. Benedict XVI issued a novelty coronation towards the Lourdes image on World Day of the Sick in 2007. And so it's very much in agreement with the Vatican, endorsed it right from the moment the bishop, the local bishop, has accepted the apparitions. Now, on the process of being beatified and canonized, there were two exhumations of Bernadette, and the body was found incorrupt, and is still there to be seen by anybody that goes there, because it is in display, her body. It is incorrupt. The two times that was exhumed. The rosary was corrupted. The rosary that she had in her hands was corrupted, but her body was not. Okay, so now a question rises to, what's the reason for this apparition? You know, the reason for the apparition of Guadalupe was a help for... whether it was an apparition or it was an image that was created for evangelization, the reason is still the same: evangelization. The same would be Fatima. Fatima is also about faith, about evangelization or new evangelization or re-evangelization. Fatima, Our Lady appears as a prophetic fighter against not against communism, like many people wanted to portray Fatima. That's wrong. We know that, but we will be speaking about that. It's not against communism as a system, not communism as, because communism, if it was real communism, like the first Christians put everything in common, that would be nice. That would be very much according to the gospel. Of course, communism that turns into dictatorship is not acceptable. But Mary doesn't go into politics. She is concerned about the atheism, militant atheism, as you know, the Soviet Union did many years, militant atheism around the world. Many countries were introduced to this militant atheism and people were forbidden to practice their faith. That's as a fact. And that's what Fatima is against right from the beginning. But we are still talking about Lourdes. And so, what was the reason for the apparition of Lourdes? Well, I'm telling you, although it looked like to me that was not a sufficient reason for Our Lady visit us. But indeed, if you read the history, it is a sufficient reason. And that's the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. It was a long history dogma. It was first seen in the 8th century. In the 8th century, it was already accepted in Palestine, and in Constantinople was also accepted. And on the 8th of December, they already celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Now, when this feast came to the West, and that means the center of the church, it has been for many years, up to the beginning of 19th century, it has been France. France was the real center of the church. And when it was introduced in France, the best known theologians did not accept it. Bernard of Clairvaux, you know, it was this a big theologian, this big lover of our Blessed Mother. You see that painting that the milk comes from our Blessed Mother breast and down is Saint Bernard getting it in his mouth. No, he was so in love with our Blessed Mother and he would not accept this dogma. And not just him, Saint Anselm of Canterbury, Saint Albert Magno, and St. Thomas Aquinas. When St. Thomas Aquinas doesn't accept it, then forget about it. And St. Bonaventure, also this Franciscan theologian, they could not accept the doctrine on the grounds that it detracted from the universality of the redemption by Christ. Christ came to redeem all human beings, and our Blessed Mother is a human being. But it was defended and explained with theological clarity on the 13th century by Blessed John Duns Scotus, a Franciscan attempt to explain it. The opponent of this feast and doctrine had argued that Mary had to be touched by original sin, even if for a second. They would accept the Immaculate Conception, but at least for a second, the original sin would have to touch our Blessed Mother, and then she would be redeemed. She was sanctified. She would be sanctified. But these Duns Scotus understand and explain the Immaculate Conception in a very interesting way. So, and he says, Christ can save and redeem in two ways. He can rescue from sin those already fallen. or it can preserve one from being touched by sin, even for an instant. And Mary was granted redemption by exemption. So that's the formula to understand and to grab this dogma, because our Blessed Mother is a human being, entirely a human being. There is nothing of God in her. She is full of grace, but her nature is 100% humane. So, and humanity need redemption. All humanity need redemption. Those that were touched are redeemed after. Those that were granted the redemption by exemption. So, she was redeemed, we can say. She was redeemed because she was preserved from sinning. She was preserved from the original sin, and that's a redemption. Okay, and that formula, it was accepted in the Trent Council, and it was accepted by later even a First Council of Baltimore in 1846, the Catholic bishops of the United States also declare chose Mary under the title of her Immaculate Conception as the patron saint of the nation. This deepened interest in the vast new country. And of course, it was the apparition of our Blessed Mother, Mary Immaculate, to Catherine Laborne in 1830 in Paris. We spoke about this. And that's the Immaculate Conception is the one in the Miraculous Medal. And of course, the very same apparition of Lourdes, now we can understand. It is to prove beyond doubt that our Blessed Mother was conceived without the original sin. She is human, and so she was redeemed. We are redeemed after we have fallen, our nature has fallen. She was redeemed. She was redeemed by exemption. Redemption by exemption. And that is it, brothers and sisters. We finish here this program about Our Lady of Lourdes. And before we go into Our Lady of Fatima, although I have been speaking about it here and there, but before, we will say a word about the apparition, the possible or not possible apparition of Our Lady at Medjugorje. I'll say that because I wouldn't go into that, but because Lady Maria is somehow attached to this apparition, and Father Livio strongly believes in this apparition, I will say some words, but I'm telling you already that this has not been approved by the Vatican, and it has happened already years ago. But Pope Francis allowed people to go there, and to go there in pilgrimages. And the reason he gives it is a normal reason. Well, two or three are united in my name. I am in their midst. So any place you can go, it becomes sacred because people are there praying, united in the name of Jesus. Even if it was not sacred, it becomes sacred because God is there. So on these grounds, we will say some words about this apparition before we go into Fatima, and then we stay there till the end.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.